This episode of Outspoken is brought to you by Sitting Pretty Halo Hair.
This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
What an absolutely crazy week this has been. The last time we spoke to you guys, we were predicting that we would be having to do our podcast virtually over Zoom. Thank God we're all sat in the same room together.
Yeah, well, I was nearly going to have to be via the phone because I only literally 10 minutes before we wanted to record the podcast got a text saying that I was COVID-free.
I feel so sorry for the people at ClinPath or whatever clinical place you have been hounding over the past 2 days.
Clinical labs.
I didn't even know you could ring these people. I assume that you just had to wait patiently to get a text message to say you got the all clear. But Kate has been on the phone to these people probably about 10 times.
Look, I haven't been patient, but give me a break, because Sophie and Amy got their COVID test done earlier in the week and they got theirs back within 24 hours. So me being a hypochondriac, I woke up on Saturday morning with like a little bit of a sore throat. Now, we had left our air conditioner on all night and I knew realistically this was why my throat was sore, but I thought I'll go get tested just in case for peace of mind. Yeah, it took 48 hours.
But it is good that you made sure, because that's what the government are telling everyone to do. Go and get a COVID test if you need to.
Yeah, and I understand I sound so impatient and like such a dickhead, because yes, 48 hours is actually pretty quick for a COVID test, considering they've tested like over 20,000 people in Adelaide this week.
Now, the elephant in the room, of course, is that we got out of lockdown early. We were supposed to do 6 days, ended up only doing 3, and that was because of a pizza shop light.
Yeah, so when you say a pizza shop lie, it actually sounds a bit like a movie, what's happened.
Well, I could not believe watching the press conference when this revelation came out from our Premier, Stephen Marshall. And I have loved the memes that have followed and also the press coverage. I was watching Channel 9 and they kept calling him the pizza shop liar. Like, just it just seems so juvenile to call someone a liar, but everyone's jumped on board. It's like everyone's so excited that they're out of lockdown that they can sort of also blame someone as well.
So for those who don't know, this man basically said that he had gone to collect a pizza from the Woodville Pizza Bar and he had contracted COVID from the box.
So he failed to mention that he in fact worked at the pizza shop. And this is because this gentleman also worked as a kitchen hand at one of the Medi hotels. So it's all very twisted. There's a lot to it. But I'm just so glad that we're out of lockdown. And I thought it'd be really interesting to put up a thread in our Facebook community about what lie you have told that has got really out of hand quickly.
Can I just say also, it has given me so much respect for our Melbourne listeners who endured such a long lockdown. I mean, I was literally
112 days.
I know, I was literally going crazy yesterday. I was a real asshole to be around. Mm.
Gosh, I can't even imagine how awful you would have been, Kate, if we'd gone into 112 days of lockdown.
I probably wouldn't have a boyfriend.
Probably not. Did you guys see, though, when we came out of lockdown in the early hours of Sunday morning, everybody in Adelaide seemed to flock to McDonald's?
This shocked me. I mean, we were kind of throwing around the idea as a joke with our cousins, but the thing that shocked me the most is this supposed outbreak has happened at a pizza shop. And personally, I don't really want to go to a drive-thru where I can't see what is happening with my food.
So for those who haven't seen it, Shit Adelaide, who is just an iconic Instagram account in Adelaide, they have a new account called Just Adelaide Things, and they shared a video of the lineup to the McDonald's, and it is insane. It actually looks like a shot from the news. You know, when they had all the cars lining up for COVID tests, it looks like there's that many people there.
Look, I don't really blame them. I feel like after, what was it, 3 nights of home cooking, that a lot of people deserved a Big Mac.
You have your own McDonald's? No way!
Influencer Sarah's Day has come under fire for publicly calling out a small business to her 1.1 million Instagram followers. The self-proclaimed holistic health princess labeled a homewares brand a scam and their actions fraudulent, sending stans into a frenzy. Kate, what actually went down?
I feel like we're getting ready for some sort of political debate. I've got a lot of facts here that I need to go through to kind of explain what's happened, but essentially we're talking about an influencer and a Moroccan pillow.
pretty serious stuff. And this issue has actually caused a lot of debates amongst ourselves off mic, some that got very heated. So I'm a bit concerned about what's actually going to transpire during this podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it PG, no swearing. So anyway, what's happened is Sarah has shared with her 1.1 million followers that she was unhappy because she bought a pillow insert and unfortunately it never arrived. Now she has followed up with the brand. She's taken screenshots of the email she sent to the brand asking for further information about where the pillow was. Now she originally purchased the pillow on the 15th of October and she followed the brand up on the 6th of November on Instagram and on email. However, the brand never responded to her. And then a day after she messaged again on Instagram, but again, no reply.
Well, you could tell that Sarah was very upset by this. She posted a total of 13 Insta stories about the brand. She actually tagged the brand in one of the initial Insta stories. She wrote, "I found this store, Sabi in Seoul, and spent $100 on cushion inserts over a month ago. The money was taken straight out of my account and the email said that I'd receive a secondary email shortly to let me know my order had been packaged and sent off." The next slide said, "So now I'm just like, okay, cool. Was that a scam or question mark?" The next slide then said, "Anyway, I'm genuinely not doing this to hate on the brand. I'm just sharing my frustration of this brand's negligence and lack of customer care. I put so much effort, time, and care into customer service and the teams that run them that I simply cannot understand when a brand chooses to go MIA on emails dispatching, but yet continue to take people's money with nothing in return. That's just fraud, my friend."
God, I love the humble brag about having to like list every single business that she owns, especially when like two of them are a skincare range.
Well, I don't think it's a humble brag. I think she's trying to reiterate the fact that she's actually had experience in running a number of businesses, and that's why she's being so critical of this business's protocols.
What was interesting was what followed. So after Sarah shared this Instagram story, a lot of her followers reached out to her and claimed that they had had the same experience with this brand.
Well, she actually said that she had about 20 different followers contact her in the space of a number of minutes, saying that they had had the same issues with this brand. And she, in fact, blurred out the names of the people so they weren't identified.
I found this kind of peculiar because she started to share the responses and within the screenshot, you could see that she had messaged people back. And while I do think she was sharing them to be like, oh my God, everyone's had the same experience as me, I do feel like it motivated Sarah's younger and impressionable audience to maybe message her something that was not factually true just to get her attention.
I don't really know if I agree with that, because if I was an influencer and I'd put up a complaint about a brand and people were reaching out to me, I don't know if I'd generally jump to the conclusion that they were only messaging me, you know, small bits of information about their experience.
Interestingly, Sarah then deleted all of the stories naming the brand and then shared this message to her Instagram story. She wrote, "Okay, I've written numerous times, but let me get straight to the point. I've decided to delete my previous stories about how money was taken out of my account for a product I never received. And then in brackets, I made an online purchase for our homewares. I stand by everything I said and don't want any other customers falling victim to this, but I've seen the negativity it has created on this brand's page and that doesn't sit well with me. Even if the IG page isn't even a 5 anymore." Now, I'm not really sure what that was meant to mean. "I just don't like the kind of commenting and language. I value honesty, kindness, and compassion, and I'm now practicing the third. Yes, the money was taken out of my account and the issue remains, but I have this platform to promote kindness and love above anything else. Yes, I feel responsibility to spread awareness and protect others from potentially having the same issue as me, but I want to spread happiness even more. Anyway, it's all good, guys. Let's just all be good people. Research before you purchase online and don't leave the hate comments, no matter what the circumstances."
Now, of course, Sarah is referring to the fact that a number of her followers went online to Sabi and Seoul and started leaving lots and lots of negative comments on the Instagram page.
Yeah, there were a lot of people writing scam and then people sharing their own personal story. And the owner of Sabi and Seoul was writing back to a lot of people asking them, "Look, can you please provide some details around your identification so she can look in the system?" And there was one particular person from South Africa who was a nurse that she looked up and said, "Look, there is no record of you even purchasing." And so there were a lot of question marks around whether these people had actually purchased something or if they were Sarah's stans trying to get Sarah's attention.
Now, the owner directed people to the frequently asked question page, which basically outlined that as of August 2020, the cushion inserts had to be purchased alongside cushion covers. And those who had purchased only inserts, their orders would be cancelled due to the limited stock.
And this appears to be what happened with Sarah's order, because in her screenshot, she had only ordered pillow inserts without the actual cushion. So it appears that her order has been cancelled automatically. However, there hasn't been any follow-up customer service emails to let her know about it or a reply to her customer questions. So we decided to follow up with the owner of Sabi and Soul because we thought it was important to hear her side of events. Now, she was willing to share a few details with us, but she did tell us that she was taking legal action, so she couldn't say too much. However, she did share a screenshot with us that appeared to show that she had given Sarah a refund on the day that Sarah had purchased the pillow, which was on October 15th.
Do you know what? I think the whole thing is so sad because it does seem as if Sarah has been refunded the amount, but perhaps Sarah didn't see it because I looked into this business and I could not find an ABN on this website. Not to say it doesn't have an ABN. I'm sure there is an ABN attached, but sometimes these businesses are under different names. So the refund might not have come in as Sabi and Soul. So she might not have seen it. But you've got to be sure when you're calling out a business, don't you?
Oh, exactly right. I mean, you've got to remember, she has a responsibility. She has 1.1 million followers on Instagram. As soon as she tags a page, she would know that she has crazy stans that are going to go across to their platform and cause trouble. And that's exactly what happened. And I just think if I was going to call out a brand, I would make sure I had dotted the I's and crossed the T's, because normally, like, I get funny if I haven't received something. So if something's running late, I'll go and check the website and look at the frequently asked questions and see how my parcel's tracking. I would have checked that page out, and on that page it clearly did state that there were issues with COVID and that the pillow inserts would not be being sent out, that the orders would be automatically cancelled.
What is kind of questionable though is that messaging didn't actually appear on the cushion insert page, and that was subsequently added the day that Sarah made her Instagram post.
Yeah, I felt very tech savvy. I work at a web company, so I kind of did a little bit of like looking into the coding, and as Sophie said, I looked that page had been updated the date that Sarah put up the post. So it's clear that either the owner wanted to reiterate that message on the page or maybe kind of cover the fact that the messaging was there. I suppose we don't know what the intentions were, but I think it's good that the page has now been updated with that information. I mean, I am surprised that there wasn't a pop-up box that automatically told you that you couldn't purchase the item without purchasing cushion covers. But I suppose we've got to remember again that this is a side hustle for this woman.
That being said though, if you look at the website, it's not clear that it's some side hustle. Do you know what I mean? It looks like it's a big company. She sells rugs that are between $1,000 to $2,000.
But that's just what is happening now with online stores and the ability to market stuff from home. Like, you can make the smaller shop look large on the internet.
Yeah, but that being said, Sarah doesn't know that this is a one-woman shop. She doesn't know that at all. So when she's calling out the brands, like, she has been known to call out brands in the past, like Hawaiian Airlines. That's a huge brand. You know, just playing devil's advocate, do you guys think that that's okay to call out a huge brand, but it's not okay to call out a small brand?
Personally, I do think the size of the brand or business does matter. At the end of the day, this is a one-woman show, and it is also a very difficult time for a lot of small businesses during COVID. So I do really feel for this woman. It sounds like she's had a lot of sleepless nights over it. I think that the reason it is different is because a big brand is an established business who has the right protocols in place to be able to deal with this sort of demand, and you expect more from a big brand in regards to customer service than a smaller brand. If this is someone's side hustle, maybe it's more reasonable that perhaps this woman missed some of the emails or that there weren't these shop features set up in place.
Yeah, and the thing we've got to remember is that when you are directly sending 1.1 million people to a brand, that is going to be damaging even if it's a small or large brand. I mean, when you look at a large brand, there are individual people that work in, say, the marketing sector. Now, if Sarah was to slam, say, when she slammed Hawaiian Airlines, there are people actually genuinely associated to that customer complaint. And because it's done on such a large scale, then those people could possibly lose their jobs. So for me, I really don't think influencers should be using their platforms to slam brands at all.
Well, just playing devil's advocate, what about if a large influencer has been scammed? So say Sarah was scammed by a business and she wants to put the message out to warn her 1.1 million Instagram followers. Should she be allowed to do that, or should influencers just not have their say on anything?
I think it's a risky game to play. I think that you need to look at what the influencer's motivation is. If your motivation is to single-handedly destroy a business, I don't think you should be calling someone out. If your motivation is to simply warn people about something, I think you can do that, but you've got to be very, very sure of your facts. And I think in this case, it's very clear that there has been a terrible breakdown of communication between the owner and Sarah. The owner didn't reply to multiple messages from her, which led Sarah to believe that this was, in fact, a scam. And I think the saddest thing is, from a PR perspective, this was an incredible opportunity for this owner to actually get huge exposure on a positive level. The fact that this influencer had reached out to her, can you imagine if she'd actually noticed the DM and given her a rug or given her something else? Like, I'm not saying that she has to give things for free, but there could have been great brand exposure. This could have been handled in a completely different manner to what it has been handled in.
Can I just say, though, I do call bullshit on the fact that Sarah said she was trying to raise awareness for this. I'm sorry, but this is a brand that has 2,000 followers on Instagram. It's not a mainstream brand. It's not a brand that a lot of people are going to be duped by. So I kind of feel like it seemed a little bit immature and reckless of Sarah to call this brand out, particularly when we found out from the owner that Sarah had purchased the item through PayPal. Now, anyone that uses PayPal will know that there is a process you can go through to get your money back. Why did she not seek that process and instead choose to publicly slam this small business? And her actions could completely destroy this business.
I agree with what you're saying. I don't think she should have taken to Instagram to name this business. However, this is a business that is selling rugs that cost up to $2,000. If you look
That's not a huge, that's not a huge ticket item, Amy. Especially in decor. I mean, you sell videos for, you know, thousands of dollars to your clients, but you and Sophie are still a small business. If an influencer called you guys out and sent their followers to you, I think you would feel very differently.
No, and I feel very sympathetic towards this woman. I think the difficult thing from my perspective is, though, that this is clearly a side business that perhaps hasn't got enough attention to detail in looking over this.
Yeah, no one's disputing the fact that the customer service was not good enough. But I do think that this really raises an important question about how influencers use their platform. And in this instance, despite Sarah pushing the point that it was used for kindness and to raise awareness, I don't think it was at all. I literally think she was pissed off that she didn't get her pillows and lashed out.
What I think is so fascinating, though, which this topic has really brought to life, is of course there are stans, but I feel like there's almost something, we've got to come up with a name. It's almost anti-stans. It's people that hate that influencer.
Haters.
It's people who hate that influencer so much that they are so excited that something like this has happened and they will jump to the defense of someone that they don't know just to have a bit of a middle finger stuck up at the person.
Yeah, well, I did have a look at Tattle Life who were talking about this issue. And what I found interesting was that there was talk that they were going to start a GoFundMe page to help this woman prosecute Sarah's Day for defamation. Now, that really is next level of standing against someone, so hating on something.
Well, I think what is positive, though, is a lot of those people in that community are wanting to help out this small business owner. So it is actually quite an act of kindness to be donating to such a cause.
Yeah, this issue has literally had everything. It's had the anti-stans, the stans, everyone's been going nuts. So we would really love to hear your opinion in our Facebook community. Please share your thoughts on whether you think influencers should be allowed to call out brands on their platform.
Maybe I could compose a regular memo with how it's all going.
Okay, why don't you drop that in my pigeonhole?
Great, where's that then, sir?
Any bin. Any rubbish bin you see in or indeed out of the school. Just pop all your thoughts in a rubbish bin and they'll get to me.
Let's get into our reality wrap. Kate, can you tell us what's making headlines this week?
This really excited me. Married at First Sight have released the teaser for their 2021 series. How are you guys feeling about this being back on our screens next year?
Well, I think I'm so sick to my back teeth with The Bachelor that I'm excited for something new to come out. I'm really hoping this year we see more genuine people on there. I personally am a huge fan of the first series and the way that it was more of a documentary style.
Look, I would be happy if it went back to the Martha Cyrell series, to be honest. That was my absolute favorite. Like, I was hooked. I love seeing the wine throwing incident. It was trash at its best. And I think if we all take it with a grain of salt and think of it as being trash, then we'll all enjoy it a lot more.
I mean, well, I disagree because, yes, I did enjoy that series, but I think that that has led it to a very dark path. Oh. We are now just getting absolute fuckwits on who their only intention, of course, is to be Instagram
famous.
But what
reality TV show doesn't attract influencers anymore?
But in the first series, we actually had people that now have children, like have had kids.
Oh my God, let's just be honest. No one is watching this show for the love stories. We are watching it for the brawls at the dinner parties. I think what the producers should be focusing on this year, though, is getting at least a few love stories.
Yeah, we need a Cam and Jules. We need that sort of love story juxtapositioned with the brawling and the wine cheating. Throwing.
But what I personally used to love was the awkwardness of people moving in together, the awkwardness of meeting families. I don't know. I really love the first series.
Do you know what I love about Married at First Sight is how everybody knows it's this huge reality show that's like full of gossip and bullshit, but the way they narrate it as if it's some serious documentary, that's what I love about it.
Well, that's the thing. The teaser actually was sort of making it as if it's really serious. So the camera's positioned behind the brides and the grooms and you can't see any of their faces and it's sort of like making this leap of faith in getting married. So it never really promotes what it actually is.
Yeah. I love the fact that the parents also are still in on it, where they're like, oh, I can't believe they're marrying a stranger, as if they've never seen the concept of the show before. We all know it's a fake wedding.
Or they're so surprised at the dinner where all the cameras are that they're being told that their child's going on Married at First Sight.
We're just moving on to batchy news. And poor Becky Miles, can she be any cuter? She's had a bit of a faux pas with not being able to understand a bit of Instagram lingo.
Well, I felt for her because I had no idea what this meant either. So runner-up Adrian, who is rumored to be back with Becky, and I suppose this comment signals that they might be back together, he wrote YTG with three fire emojis and a fist pump of a picture of Becky and her friends. Now, Becky said she had to Google what YTG was, and she said, clearly, I'm not up with the young kids, wink, you're pretty great yourself. Now, unfortunately, Becky thought that YTG meant you're the greatest. Now, apparently it actually means, yeah, the girls. So
this to me, I mean, yes, I am known to date younger guys.
Sophie's a cougar.
To me, this would kind of be a signal like maybe they're a bit young that I'm not getting this lingo. Like if anyone that I was going out with used the term that's lit or that's fire, I think I would just have to leave and just end the relationship there.
When I used to work at the 36ers, hanging out with all the young players, they would legitimately say that and I tried not to scoff. Like, it just made me laugh.
I think I'm going to start using YTG over everything. I'm going to go and post that on your Instagram photos now. Cool.
I hope so.
I can't wait to see you commenting that. The other one that I'm going to start using just to sound young is banging. 20-year-old influencer Saffron Barker's always, if she has something to eat, that's banging.
Oh, I did notice that. Is that really new, though?
I think it is. I've heard all these young people using it.
I feel like that's a Saffron Barker quote, though.
Sophie sounds so old. I hear all these young people using it.
Absolutely banging. So good.
Now a word from today's sponsor.
So if I still remember the day I was recommended Sitting Pretty Halo hair extensions, a girl at work had them in and I could not get over how amazing they look that I went straight home and started Googling them.
Yeah, I think the best thing about them is that they're not just for people who want to have really long hair. They're perfect if you just want a bit of volume and extra thickness to your hair. I recently got my hair cut into a bob and I got some extensions cut the same length and it's so good because they just sit perfectly and they are not uncomfortable at all. They are so comfortable and easy to put on. I have previously worn clip-in hair extensions and by the end of the day when you take them out, your head is just aching. But these, you forget that they're on.
Oh, they're like magic. Like there's like this little thin kind of fishing wire bit that you attach on and then you just flip your hair over it. My boyfriend always tries to watch me put these on because he's like, how does it work? I can't work it out. And I'm really grateful for Sitting Pretty because they are allowing us to give away some Sitting Pretty Halo hair extensions to a listener. Now, these are perfect for anyone that's looking for a good hair day all the time.
Now, let's get into the influencer wrap. And I did thoroughly enjoy this one. Influencer Madison Woolley shared on her Instagram story that she Uber Eats 2 minute noodles to her house very late on a Tuesday morning.
I'm surprised she didn't Uber Eats McDonald's or Hungry Jack's or something. Like 2 minute noodles, that must have been a real craving for her.
Well, I know someone who used to Uber Eats tubs of ice cream to their house and the delivery fee cost more than the ice cream itself. So I'm assuming that would have been the case for these 2 minute noodles as well.
I feel like such a tight ass. I don't really like even using Uber Eats for like a main meal. So I can't imagine having to justify the delivery spend on some 2 minute noodles.
Let's put this in our community group. I would love to hear what are the things that you have drunk ordered ordered that you literally regret in the morning, because the next day I had a look at Madison's Instagram and she'd actually taken the story down. So it must have been a bit of a regret.
It's like that with 2 minute noodles though. I find there's certain foods that you eat and you'll really crave them, and as soon as you've had them, you can't have them again for a while.
That's like me with our mini lockdown. Brandon bought all these packets of Alfredo pasta, which I used to love growing up, and I was craving it so much. I had one packet and then I just couldn't face it again.
Well, does anyone realize that today is actually quite a special day?
Really? Why?
It is Steph Claire Smith and Josh Miller's first wedding anniversary. Now,
oh my God, is it just me or I don't actually give a shit? I know, well, you guys love, I mean, I think do. She's cool, but I don't care.
And wow, for me, that year has just flown by. Like, I cannot believe it. Yeah.
We would have been, this time last year, we were on our phones waiting to see the dress.
I wasn't.
Yeah, well, anyway, Amy, you don't get it. Well, Josh, being the amazing Instagram husband that he is, gave Steph a gorgeous ring that looks a lot like her wedding band. And it made me think, isn't the first anniversary meant to be paper?
Well, I feel like when you've gone through lockdown and your wife's pregnant, you've kind of got to raise the bar with a good present.
I'm sure he put down a lot of paper to get it.
Yeah, paper notes. Well, I wonder what her push present will be. This will be very interesting to keep an eye on.
Now let's get into the controversy surrounding English YouTuber Saffron Barker. In a vlog a few weeks ago, she shared a video with her brother where she answered questions that she had been trying to avoid.
Now there were some answers that came up that shocked a lot of people, weren't there, Soph?
Well, it did surprise me. So she revealed that when she was 18, she did get breast implants done, and that was to even out her breasts because they weren't the same size. Now, a lot of her fans have hit out calling her a liar because she has not addressed this earlier.
I just find it so funny because in Adelaide we've had the pizza shop liar. Now we've got the breast implant liar.
Isn't that her business though? If she doesn't want to share at 18 that she's got breast implants, well, surely that's her business.
Well, I thought it was fairly obvious she had breast implants. I remember saying to you, has she had a boob job? You're like, no, no.
Well, I actually personally like the fact that she did keep it personal because I think that she has such a young, impressionable audience following her that I think if she was to document that process, it would look as though she was urging young girls to also get it done. So I respect the fact that she kept it quiet and then spoke about it at a time when she felt that she was mature and old enough to do it.
An evil takes a human form in Regina George.
I'll be fooled, because she may seem like your typical selfish, backstabbing, slut-faced hoe bag, but in reality, she is so much more than that.
Mamma Mia's latest podcast, The Undone, has come under fire for already being done. Listeners were quick to draw comparisons between Mamma Mia's newest podcast aimed at women in their 20s and the podcast they so famously passed on, Shameless. So, there's a bit of a backstory before we delve into the new podcast.
Now, for those who aren't aware, the hosts of Shameless are Michelle Andrews and Zara McDonald, and they worked as writers at Mamma Mia for a number of years. Now, they were given the opportunity to host a Mamma Mia podcast called Batch Chat, and that was after a number of staff heard their sophisticated chats and banter about the reality show. Now, Zara and Michelle started brainstorming podcast ideas to pitch to the Mamma Mia team. They decided on a podcast about celebrity and pop culture, as it wasn't something that was really covered yet in Australia. Now, that was in July 2017, and their pitch was initially accepted by Mamma Mia, but then rejected. And although Mamma Mia liked the idea, according to Michelle and Zara, they didn't like the idea of using them as hosts.
So Michelle actually was quoted as saying, "It hurt. We struggled with the way it was put to us, in the way that we interpreted that maybe we weren't going to be right for the show." So I think it's quite interesting that they seemed quite offended by the fact that their podcast wasn't picked up, as you would if you were working there. It would make it quite challenging. So the girls decided to ask their bosses if they could record the podcast independently. And of course, Shameless was born. It was launched in March 2018 and has been, as Zara McDonald would say, a smash hit ever since.
Well, 10 weeks after the girls started the podcast, things got a little bit awkward at work because the podcast was a big hit. And it raised the question, can they still be working at Mamma Mia when they have a hugely successful podcast?
It just seemed like a huge conflict of interest to me, the fact that these two writers were hosting their own independent podcast, despite the fact that Mamma Mia has one of the largest podcast networks in Australia. It just made it appear as though there was some conflict between them and Mia Friedman.
I don't think it seemed like it was a conflict. I think the issue was that this was a podcast that is competing against a Mamma Mia podcast.
Well, it just seems stupid because it seemed like they had pitched the idea to Mamma Mia. It wasn't good enough. So they kind of then had to go tail between their legs and start it themselves. And then the awkward thing was that it took off. It was an amazing podcast. And then Mamma Mia looked a bit stupid for passing it down. Yeah.
Well, I think it was awkward too because they did start sharing stories about the fact that their idea was turned down. So it did all feel a bit awkward and murky considering they still worked for that employer.
Well, over the years, reading between the lines, there does seem to be a bit of an issue between Mamma Mia and the Shameless girls. In their book, The Space Between, they did outline what it was like working at a toxic workplace. And it just felt really awkward because they didn't name Mamma Mia in the book, but everyone knows that they worked there.
Now, talking about The Space Between, the book covers very similar topics to Mamma Mia's new podcast, The Undone.
Yeah, it's funny because I compared the little blurb about The Space Between and then The Undone podcast, and there are so many similarities. It's all about the awkwardness of being in your 20s, not really being an adult, all the fun along the way. However, I felt like Shameless's blurb was written in quite a sophisticated way. However, when I looked at The Undone, I felt like it was almost a person in their 40s writing the description. It did seem a little bit condescending and as if someone is older and looking down at them and thinking the things that they do are stupid.
To be fair though, it seems as though the Undone podcast isn't touching on issues that Shameless talk about because Shameless talk about pop culture subjects. They don't talk about growing up in your 20s, albeit their book did. But is it really such a crossover that Mamma Mia have a podcast? Surely they have this podcast because they are looking to appeal to that 20-year-old demographic.
And that being said, Amy, I don't really think that Shameless own the topic of speaking about your 20s. I don't really think that's some unique concept that they've come up with.
And they're not saying that at all. This is other people speculating online.
Yeah, well, I've been doing a little bit of research into Mamma Mia's podcast because at the moment they do have 27 podcasts in their podcasting network. And after the success of Shameless, Mamma Mia actually launched their own daily entertainment podcast on the 18th of July 2019. So that podcast still runs and it's hosted by Laura Brodnick and Key Reese. And the podcast is a daily podcast that talks about the top pop culture stories of the day. And it's described itself as a smart look at celebrity news. Now, does that not sound familiar to you guys?
Well, a little bit, but I mean, I'm always desperate to listen to new podcasts, so I don't see a problem with other people talking about pop culture. Everyone's got a different opinion. And let's be fair, Mamma Mia was around first, so it's really hard. Like, you can't just be pointing fingers at people for copying one another.
Oh, I'm not saying there's any copying, but I do find it interesting that Mamma Mia did pass on Shameless. However, now it feels like they have a big focus on that 20s audience because previously they've had a lot of pregnancy podcasts, but they're very smart in the fact that they're trying to branch out and attract women of all ages. It's definitely not the first time Mamma Mia have launched a podcast aimed at women in their 20s. They've had The Social Squad hosted by Tully Smythe, and they've also had Overshare. And these podcasts have sort of lasted for about 6 months and then stopped. And the interesting thing is, because it's such a large podcasting network, they use so much cross-promotion to kind of get excitement about these new podcasts. But after a couple of months, they seem to sort of fall flat, which is what I'm expecting for Undone.
What I think is interesting, though, is they're clearly trying to move away from using influencers in the hosting roles. As you mentioned, Tully Smythe was the host of The Social Squad. Flex Mammy was the host of the other one. They have kind of plucked these writers out from nowhere. So maybe they see the appeal that, you know, Shameless were just regular girls who started a podcast. Let's get people who are actually relatable.
I think it's more that it makes more business sense to have somebody who works at Mamma Mia as the host because Mamma Mia would own the intellectual property right of that podcast. But, you know, with podcasts that are hosted by, you know, for example, Tully Smythe, if she goes, the branding is completely off.
We saw that with the podcast that Maura from Love Island hosted with Boohoo. Like, as soon as she left, no one was really interested in it. But it's interesting you pointed that out, Amy, because that's exactly what Michelle Andrews said. She said that they're so lucky that Mamma Mia didn't pick up their podcast because they wouldn't own it. The hosting jobs would have been replaceable. They wouldn't be the face of the Shameless because you see with Mamma Mia Out Loud, that's been going for 4 years and the hosts have changed quite a lot over that time.
Now, with all of this copycat calling out, we should also mention that Shameless have also been accused of copying Mamma Mia Out Loud. They constantly do the same topics as one another.
Unfortunately with Shameless though, their podcast is always a couple of days after Mamma Mia. So for example, this week Shameless spoke about Pete Evans and Angie Kent. However, Mamma Mia had spoken about that the week before.
Now that just reminded me of the word copycat. We also got called copycats by launching our own pop culture podcast. So, I mean, there's a lot of it going on in the industry.
Yeah, and to be fair, there's only a number of topics each week that are really going on in the Australian media to talk about that relate to that pop culture audience. But I know with us, we always try and be careful and listen out to see what other people have discussed because we don't want to be you know, doing the same topic as other podcasts.
It's boring to hear the same topic dissected multiple times. Well, just to wrap it up, there were some quite funny similarities between Mamma Mia and Shameless's podcasts. So I noticed that Mamma Mia launched their own Mamma Mia recaps of reality TV shows back on the 31st of January 2019. And then in October of 2019, Shameless launched their fourth podcast, Reality Check. So if people are going to talk about copycatting, you know, who knows there?
I almost forgot about Reality Check because that really did teeter off.
I think they're probably glad everyone forgot about that. But they have produced Love Etc. and that is a winner, so...
Well, that's all we've got time for. If you would like to continue the conversation, please go to our Facebook page, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
I'm really excited. We've almost hit 1,000 members in there. And I know that might not sound like a lot, but it is actually so much fun chatting in there to everyone.
We will be talking to Eliza Reed from Bargain Homewares, and she will be giving us all of her tips on where to find a bargain this Christmas.